Welcome to the Round 11 Supercoach Coach Round Review Podcast. I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day, Marcus. How you going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, Mark. A bit mixed emotions. Scored okay, but also wasted quite a lot of points, Mark. How'd you score this weekend?
Could not be happier tonight, to be honest, mate. Bombers had a great win on Friday night. Plus, I brought three players into my team this week. Do you want to know who they were?
Who were they, Mark? I'm guessing Dane Swan topped that list.
Dane Swan, 148. Tom Nichols, 139. Tom Mitchell, 126.
Very nice, Mark.
Pretty good combination.
Especially those two rookies.
I know, I would have been screwed if I hadn't done that this week. I ended up with 21-29, which seems like a good score, but considering that I went basically perfect with my trades, I'm surprised that I'm getting beaten out there. The rest of my team must have done a bit crap.
I scored 20-95, Mark, but if I'm going to be honest, I screwed up a little bit. I slept through the Adelaide-Sydney game.
Amateur.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was supposed to pull my Luke Brown to Tom Mitchell trade, so that really screwed with me, and I had to think through like a new trade strategy for the next 3 weeks, and also cost me a lot of points. And anyway, long story short, ended up doing Josh Kennedy, who was a laid out, to Josh, and then Nick Nat, who scored 109, so that was okay, except for the fact that Pritis was supposed to go. So what I ended up doing was leaving Crouch on field and Pritis sitting on my bench with 119. So exceptionally painful to have dropped off another 70 points there. And yeah, I think I would have cleared Mark the 200 mark if I had just gone through with my original trades and woke up and set my team up properly. So it's really painful because that would have been a sick score this round, but 20.95 still all right, but I had a lot of premiums playing and I'm going to be in a lot of over the next 2 weeks. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens when rankings come out.
It's going to be a bit deceiving, Mark, because, I mean, you scored well, but you scored well off the back of, like, Nichols and Mitchell. And I scored well, but I had premiums playing that just did okay. It'll be very interesting to see how each of our rankings look after each of the three buy rounds.
Someone was saying today that we should really be looking at it as just one big round of 18 games because, yeah, they're all linked to each other, I guess, and we'll sort of find out at the end of the 3 weeks because some teams will do really well 11 or 12 and not so well in the last round. And it does look at this stage that round 13 is probably going to be the one that causes most teams the problems, especially with defense and midfields getting a bit thin in those rounds.
Mark, it's good to be back with a show after the games have been played. But we're also going to be back on Thursday this week instead of our normal Wednesday night show. We're going to wait for team sheets to come out and then record the show and try and get it out immediately. So expect it on late Thursday night, and hopefully we can give you some advice that's a little bit more relevant because we'll have the key ins and outs, Mark.
This week wasn't too bad, but we missed a couple like Sam Dwyer. Yeah, it'll be interesting to know the teams before we do it. It's normally a mad scramble for me on a Thursday night, man. Just trying to work out, oh crap, what am I going to do now?
All right, Mark, let's just go through the games and have a bit of a chat. So Essendon, Carlton, Mark, probably game of the round for you.
Yeah, it was fantastic, mate. I've actually watched the last quarter about three or four times now. Don't normally watch the replays, but it was a very fun experience. And the Bombers played pretty awful football for 2.5 quarters, and Carlton just really let them back in. The big one for me was Andrew Walker. I was definitely considering him as a trade-in target. And then they had the hammy tightness situation come up. I was actually considering him for other comps, and he went and got scans on his hamstring, and that just warned me off. He would have been a perfect player otherwise, and I was watching him in the warm-up, and he looked like he was pretty comfortable, so but I didn't really want to be reversing trades from my phone and doing them again. So Andrew Walker's 140 was a bit tough to watch for me, mate, and he looked great again. I think he's down to 150 and a 140 now in a row.
If you brought him before his two big games, you'd be so happy. The real point for me was Dyson Heppel's game, Mark. You noted that it was probably one of his best games for the Bombers. He had 28 posies and he only scored 108 Supercoach points. So do you think he's somebody we should be looking at potentially trading out? For example, I have Heppel, Goddard, Gibbs, and Shaw. So I'll probably be having to trade either Heppel or Shaw out. Who would you be recommending? And is it Heppel after this game?
It's a tough call only because Heath Shaw, you've already traded him in and then he missed a couple of weeks. And so you know how painful it can be to own him. But I felt like Heppel was probably the most influential player in the last quarter. Just around the stoppages, his clearance work and his second efforts around stoppages was just fantastic. And the fact that he was so influential in that last quarter but only ended up with 108 points, I found pretty disappointing. And I know that he does have low disposal efficiency, but he's sort of averaging about 10 less than you'd think he would considering how well he's playing. So yeah, he's definitely not a Supercoach love child at the moment. He's going to score well for the rest of the year. I have him. I'm not in a position to be trading out a premium like that, so I'll be keeping him.
Another player from Essendon, Hibbard, available in the back line. He was a bit quieter, Armfield with the forward tag on him. Still 74 points off only 15 disposals just because he's so effective. And of course, Joey Danaher, Mark, making his debut for the Bombers with 55 Supercoach points. Can he stay in that team full of tours, Mark?
Well, that's really gets to the crux of the matter here, mate. We've got Gumbleton and Bell Chambers and I guess Tate Pairs as well that didn't play this week, so it's going to be tough to keep all of those guys out for the rest of the year. So you'd think that there's going to be a little bit of rotation happening. I think that he showed that he's definitely best 22. I mean, I've never seen a guy like that size in his first game. On two occasions, I saw him grab the ball and just take a bounce. Like, guys his size do not do that in AFL football. So there's something special about this kid, and they've held him back even though he has been good enough, and he is best 22 at Essendon. So I think he'll get games for the rest of the year. I don't know whether he'll play every week. They'll probably will continue to manage him, but you'd think that he'll sort of be there come finals time if he's fit.
We said on last week's show that most of us are looking through finish our upgrades before the round 13 bye. But for those out there that they won't be able to actually complete their team, Joe Watson scored another 70. So that's two in a row, Mark, against Sydney. He scored 73 as well. So his price is going to drop a fair amount and he'll be pretty cheap after the bye, Mark. So.
He's put in a few of those scores this year. We've seen a lot of premiums put in those lower scores. I guess Pendles and Ablett are really the only ones that haven't.
All right, now on to the Giants v Geelong game, Mark. The Giants actually put up a surprisingly strong fight. They were in it until three-quarter time, so I wasn't superb to watch as a Geelong supporter, but the premium scored their points, which was important.
Yeah, they sure did in the end, mate. It was interesting. The one thing that I really took out of this game was when Stevie J had the head clash with Christensen and got knocked out, Joel Selwood really stood up. And it sort of made me think that maybe Stevie J's been taking a few points off Joel Selwood, and that might have been one of the reasons why Joel wasn't quite scoring so well, because he wasn't the number one mid anymore, and Stevie Johnson was sort of taking that role. Selwood's had four or five bad games in a row.
He scored 137, Mark, so it was good to see him reverse that trend. Hopefully you're not right about that, because I'm riding on the Selwood train now.
Now let's move on to the Sydney-Adelaide game. This was like watching the Premiers versus Melbourne. It was insane how dominant Sydney were. They just completely dominated possession. Canterbury had 41, I think, and Adelaide were just never in it. Sydney showing some fantastic form over the last few weeks.
I mean, it's games like these that you realise Josh Kennedy does just get points stolen away from him. He would probably be a 120 plus midfielder if not for the fact that they just have way too many individuals that can rack up huge amounts of ball. So he only finished with 23 and 87 points, Mark. And Hanbury, I think he was on 8-17 or something at quarter time. Was that right, Mark?
They ended up putting Van Berlo onto him in the second half.
Dangerfield still put in 98, 27 touches and a goal. And that's the thing you got to love about him, Mark, that he's pretty much untaggable. You can quell his influence so that he's not going to break a game open, but he's always going to be a solid contributor.
I've had my ups and downs with Danger this year, and even he admitted over those first 4 weeks he was probably pretty disappointing in some of those games. But I was just so impressed with him against Sydney. Like, if they hadn't have got their ass kicked so badly, then he would have scored really well. His ability to get his hands free in a contest and just break away and take a couple of bounces. That's why we picked him, I guess, at the start, because he just has those Ablett-esque qualities about him, and he's just hit his 100 games, and Ablett didn't really start firing until after that. He does things that no one else can do.
All right, now to the Suns v Roos game, Mark, and it was fantastic to see the Suns just grind out a win over North Melbourne in the rain, and the tough young bodies actually came to the fore. They're huge young boys, and they actually ground out the game, which is full credit to them, and, you know, really poor by North Melbourne.
I mean, you're sort of laughing when you talk about him, and I guess North fans are probably doing the same just because they don't know how else to react anymore. Like, it's been a strange and frustrating season to be a North fan. I guess the player of the game from a Supercoach perspective was Tom Nichols with 139. Now, you don't have Blitzavs or Dor. You don't see him as a must-have that you might side-swap a Curry to from or something like that? Or what are your thoughts on Nichols?
Well, you probably won't get to use his cash, and he probably won't come on ground for you because you only have two rucks, and a lot of people have a ruck-forward sort of DPP. So I don't think he's a must-have. I think that if he was listed elsewhere on the ground, probably he's playing like a must-have, but just for the fact that he's going to be sitting on your ruck bench, I don't think he's someone that you absolutely have to bring in. But if you have someone like Dor or Blitzarves, I mean, why not bring someone in like him? So I would do the trade. Omira Mark, he scored 90. It's good to see him still do so well, and it's going to be sad to see him go. For a lot of teams would have already said goodbye, but for those of us that are still holding him, it'll be sad to see him go.
This might be his last game this week against the Bombers on Saturday night. I'll be there to say farewell to him.
Now, Saints v Eagles, Mark. Eagles actually...
Another sort of laughable game, mate.
But probably, I preferred this game probably to the Carlton-Essendon game, just the way they got through at the end, Mark. Did you watch that coast-to-coast go? It was like a 70-meter bomb to the middle and then another big bomb into the forward line, and awesome to watch.
And when McKenzie ran into goal, and was it Meister behind him that sort of just tripped up and... banged home the winner. St Kilda really should have won in this game, you would have thought. They had the chances, they were in front by a couple of goals at three-quarter time. You say that they sort of lost it, and to some extent, West Coast very lucky to be in the eight after this round, seeing as they won that North game so luckily, and then probably got a bit of a freebie in this one as well.
I think their leaders just really stood up. Cox, Nick Nat, Pritis, you really felt their presence, especially Nick Nat, I thought. Just some really crucial contest when it needs to be won, you'll just see him bobbing up. So good to see. Del Santo with a wind back of the clock mark, 129. He hasn't done that in a really, really long time. And meanwhile, the Saints rookies continue to seriously underwhelm. Now, last game that was played just today, Mark, and we saw huge points from the Collingwood Melbourne Demons Queen's Birthday clash.
That's kind of hard because Melbourne, they probably played one of their better games and got smashed by 80 or 90 points. Even after quarter time, I thought their effort was sort of there. And I guess that's what Neil would have been asking for this week. New recruit Dane Swan killed it for me. Frustrating to see Heath Shaw smash it with 147 after enjoying the pain that he's caused his coaches recently. Also, the player we talked about last week, Kyle Martin, 80 points, kicked 3 goals. Didn't get a lot of it, but looked all right.
Travis Cloke, Mark, was disappointing, wasn't he? 76 points only against Melbourne, really?
He made the game for me, mate. I know I've got a few good friends that brought him in this week thinking that was going to be a smart move, and he's playing Melbourne, has to dominate, and I was actually willing him to get the ball today because every time he got it, he would just completely shank it and kick it out on the full, and that was quite amusing for me, mate. I'm a bit of a sicko, I guess. When it comes to Kendall, I thought Garland was very, very good, and he was actually a top scorer for Melbourne.
All right, so that wraps up only 6 games, Mark, and it was very, very dragged out with a Monday game as well. Jesus. So,
gotta love a lot again, though.
Yeah, we've got one big week of trades to come up again, Mark. A lot of us will be bringing in all those premiums after bringing all that cash into our bank last week, so it's an exciting week of bringing those Birchalls and Duffields and Franklins into our teams. I think we're going to be stocked up next week.
Yep, look forward to it, mate. Round 12 doesn't look too badly for me, I don't think.
Yeah, I think the pain's going to come round 13. I think round 12's probably been the hardest to find premiums from, so it'll probably be the highest scoring round. All right, we'll catch you guys for the Thursday night show then.
Will do, mate. See you then. Don't want this, get crazy. Don't want this, get crazy. Don't want this, get crazy.